If you're joining us for the first time, we are in a series on the Holy Spirit. And we've received some good feedback that this has been encouraging, hopefully empowering and boldening us. But we've got 2 weeks left of this series. And I'd like to really go out strong, so to speak. So what's that mean? That's a good question. I can say all the words with all human wisdom, and they mean nothing. They're hollow. They're empty. They don't have any power. They have no authority. We need the Spirit. I need the Spirit to empower my ministry, to empower my love for each of you, and to equip and empower the words that I say so that they aren't just words, but as Paul says, they're demonstrations of Spirit power. Because the Spirit is the one that transforms our lives, that renews our minds, that strengthens and comforts us when we face certain suffering, whether it be in our own lives or in the lives of those around us or around the world, that gives us a boldness so that we can proclaim the goodness of God in a world full of hurt, in a world with bombs. We can proclaim the goodness of God. Glenn, last week, encouraged us that God, through his Holy Spirit, empowers our witness. So as I was preparing myself this week, that's where I rested. That's where I reflected. What does that mean? What does it mean to empower my witness? What does it mean to have unnatural boldness? What does it mean to experience that power in fullness? And as I thought about that question, the more I was drawn to, well, the fullest that I will ever experience that power and all that it entails will be in the presence of God in glory. Why? Why? Because there I will know God. So today, we're going to explore how the Holy Spirit empowers us with wisdom beyond our own means and the knowledge of God. We as a church say that we're growing together towards maturity in Christ. Nothing can be more transformative than to connect with who Christ is. To know who he is, to understand the nature of what he's done for you, to experience the richness of the love of God, brings a freedom that eliminates fear of anything this world can offer. So if you turn with me, let's look at 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to look at verses 9 through 16. It's going to be our main text for today, but we're going to explore quite a bit of scripture today together. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. It is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived. The things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and can't understand them because they are not discerned. They are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. Lord, we are so privileged to have your Holy Spirit-inspired word to guide us, to lead us, to breathe life into each and every situation in all things. So, Lord, speak through your Spirit today to the hearts and minds of your people here. Let us be transformed. Let our minds be renewed, and let a boldness well up within us for the glory of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's look at what this text says. I think they're going to put the text back up on the screen maybe. There it is. Some of it anyway. Yeah. So a few things I want to point out is in this text, what does it say about human wisdom? And right at the top, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived. So human wisdom has seen what of God? Nothing. Nothing he's prepared for us. And when the Spirit teaches us and it ministers and empowers us with all wisdom, enlightens us with a bit of understanding of God, what God has freely given, what does the one without the Spirit understand? Nothing. In fact, it's foolishness. Verse 11 says, no one knows the thoughts of God. It's pretty stark, right? No one, nothing, no ear, no eye, no mind. How are you feeling about your understanding right now? If you've been part of this community for a while, you've heard me say that my life adventure, which I invite us to join in, is to take myself less seriously while taking God incredibly seriously. This is an adventure for me because it's the one that I see exemplified in the disciples and in Paul, which we're going to explore more today. On the flip side, wisdom by the Spirit. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have an indwelling of the Spirit. But I would like to argue that there's a difference between the indwelling and a fullness. We see many scriptures that point to be full with the Spirit. Don't be drunk on wine, but be full with the Spirit. And that fullness is something I deeply desire. Do you? Do you? Because I know in that fullness, things can be accomplished for God's glory that cannot otherwise. And we're going to see how that happens here in Scripture today. But we also see wisdom from the Spirit. It searches all things. It'd be easy to look at it and just go, oh yeah, the wisdom of the Spirit knows God. Because it goes on to explain that only the Spirit of God can really know God. But the Spirit of God knows all things. There's no circumstance that you've been in. It doesn't understand and know how to guide you through it wisely. It knows all things. Are you inquiring of the Spirit how to handle daily complications? He knows all things. He explains spiritual realities, verse 13. And he gives us wisdom to make healthy judgments again and discernment in all things. Verse 15. And a beautiful promise is that in the Spirit, his final words in this encouragement, that we have the mind of Christ. What's that mean? Let's explore that a little bit. You see, the Spirit helps us connect with eternal realities, which when experienced in a fullness, push us beyond the boundaries of our natural limitations. Let's say that again. The Spirit helps us connect with eternal realities, which when experienced in fullness, push us beyond the boundaries of our natural limitations. Let's turn to some examples. First the disciples. We're going to look at that. Peter is the prime example here. But we look at the disciples. If you look at the story from the Gospels, the wisdom that the disciples often offered was folly. Right? Before Christ's death and resurrection, ascension, and the sending of the Holy Spirit, often the glimpses of conversation we hear coming from the disciples are, what's going on? We don't know. What are you talking about? But they believed. And they obeyed. They were pretty clueless. This is most beautifully displayed that when Peter is faced with Jesus taken away, he can't even proclaim Christ to a servant girl. He runs. They all scatter and run and hide. Even when faced with the resurrected Jesus, it says, some doubted. But something wild happens when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Something radical happens, and the men that we see before this point, scurrying in fear from a servant girl, now have a boldness that's unrecognizable to their character. Let's look at Acts 4, 8 through 13. It's our wonderful character, Peter, the very runner from proclaiming Christ when addressed with persecution. And he says that, they've brought in before a council of leaders, confronted for healing somebody. Listen to this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind but which we by which we must be saved." This is a different person. Right? It doesn't look anything like him. In fact, who's it sound like? Think about it. It sounds like Paul, sure, empowered by the Spirit, Paul. But who's it sound like from the Gospels? It's the mind of Christ. This sounds just like Jesus in his interactions with the scribes and the Pharisees and those over the law. It's such a pronounced transformation that these people that are standing before are like, "What on earth is going on?" These are a couple of fishermen. It says they knew they were unschooled, ordinary men standing before the elite, the educated. And they were astonished. They took note. They'd been with Jesus. The Holy Spirit transformed a bunch of quivering cowards into fearless proclaimers. How we doing? I got some work to do. I want to be full of the Spirit. I want the mind of Christ. All right, let's look at another example. Already mentioned our friend Paul. Paul was an arrogant oppressor. Unbelievably arrogant. Acts 9:1, referring to Paul, says that he breathed out murderous threats towards the Lord's disciples. It was in his very breath. At his core, he was so filled with his own conceit based on his own understanding that he could approach the high priest and get letters so that he could go track down these heretics in cities all over. One of which was Damascus. And we know what happened on the road to Damascus. Paul runs into an immovable wall of Jesus, a light like he'd never seen, and his life's never the same. He's later prayed for, filled with the Spirit. And the breath that breathed murder said this in his letter. 1 Corinthians, the chapter we're looking at, 2:1-5. "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. As I proclaim to you the testimony about God, for I resolve to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And why? Right here. So that your faith might not rest on what? Human wisdom. Guys, we absorb so much human wisdom in this day and age. I'm right there with you. I can watch 125 reels in a few hours, just zapping all the human wisdom it can throw at me. But our faith doesn't rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Not in my persuasive words, or in my charismatic speech, or in my dramatic movements. I pray that my passion, my deep, deep love of each of you for your building up is a demonstration of the power of God in my life for our benefit. Paul moved from being an arrogant oppressor by the power and filling of the Holy Spirit. He was a suffering servant to the Gentiles. The man who breathed murder, God said, I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name. Acts 9:16. It's not an act of spite, but an act of love. An act which Paul received as the love of God from that moment for the rest of his life. One more example. Let's look at Stephen. Acts 6, 9 and 10. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedman, as it was called. Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom of the Spirit, the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Not because of Stephen's wisdom, but because of the wisdom of the Spirit. When I read this, the first scripture that popped into my mind was Isaiah 54:17. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication for me, declares the Lord. Praise God. By the power of the Spirit of God, it transformed fools, ordinary, unschooled people to humble the wise. How are you doing? How are you doing? Need some growth. Me too. It's one of the reasons we come together. Are we being transformed? Are our minds being renewed? Do we see and experience this boldness in our lives of ministry? Do we see or experience the wisdom of God's Spirit speaking life-giving truth into our lives to impart wisdom to others? Ask yourself that seriously. And if not, why? I heard it said, and this is what we're going to explore next week. I heard it said, and I can't remember where, but your ability to know God is only limited by your desire to seek him. It's an interesting statement. And I think about as we are indwelt, if you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior and you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, there's a lot in that. Do you desire to seek him? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I'd like to invite up the worship team. I want to give us a few minutes, if you would. You could gather with three or four people, or pray by yourself. Whatever you feel led to do, we're going to give a little space to pray and ask God. God, pour out your Spirit on me, fill me, transform my life, renew my mind by the power of your Spirit. Help me with my unbelief. In Jesus' name. So just take a moment, pray with each other, encourage each other, and then we're going to worship together. Lord God, we're gathered here today, your people, on a mission together for your glory. Lord, I just pray that even now you would be speaking and encouraging. Lord, maybe something from your word that stuck out and resonated deep in the hearts and minds of your people. God, we pray that you would prompt, Holy Spirit, prompt each of us in the ways that we can grow, in the ways we can receive this fullness of Spirit, in ways that we are to step out boldly for your kingdom. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to gather. Thank you that you are faithful and good and true. Holy Spirit, lead us into that truth for the glory of Christ. In Jesus' name.